theoretically possible.
Why waste time?
But it doesn't make any sense.
Discovery Houston, press to ATO.
3, 2, 1.
Hello, hello, hello. How are you, World and Quinn?
Hi, babe. Hi, World.
How are you? Having a great day?
Having a really great day. I'm really excited to just be talking with you and...
It's the best. It is the best thing in the world to be able to just have conversations.
Honestly, yeah. I mean, I think the art of the conversation, as we've talked about, is a really... It's something that we all really kind of instinctually love and understand, but I think it's really difficult to put like your finger on exactly like what makes conversation so fascinating, because it's usually pretty subjective.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought, actually. It is a great tool that we are sharpening, and I'm excited to ask you a question that I've been thinking about all morning and even late last night.
Okay, talk to me.
Well, today in the world... It's a different world. And unfortunately, considering that, can't do much traveling, as you know.
I know, it's so unfortunate.
We do domestic traveling, and there are a few countries that we could use our passport in to explore, including Mexico and a few others. But let's pretend, just for a moment.
Just for a moment.
I'd like to know if you could go to any country in the world right now, all gates were open, and you can go and visit it for, let's go with like a month,
yeah,
at least a month. Which country would you want to visit? And this has to be a place that you've never been to before.
Ooh, I love this question.
I know, it brings back great memories, but it also gives us a positive outlook towards the future.
Very true. Yeah, this question is a question that John and I have asked each other for a really long time, just to kind of get excited and almost kind of put a list together of exactly where we want to go next. Mm-hmm. Okay, so to answer your question, though.
Go ahead.
For me, and I'm excited to hear your response, too.
All right.
Because I do want to know what yours is as well.
That could be another episode, but we'll see.
Okay.
I might choose yours. Who knows?
That's true. Okay.
What is yours?
All right, so mine is right now definitely South Korea.
South Korea.
I know it sounds so random, but I am so fascinated by South Korea right now. It is, I mean, it's fascinating. It's this place that I just had, I don't know anyone who's been to South Korea that I know of.
Really?
Wow. I mean, I know people who have gone into the airport, have connected it to the airport, but I don't know very many people who have actually ever, lived there.
Or gone on vacation for a significant amount of time.
Yeah. I'm surprised that I don't even have a friend who's South Korean, you know, especially being in a PhD program.
I have one friend from South Korea.
You
from
do?
The marketing department. Yeah. And she was very nice. And she married another South Korean, I believe, too.
But yeah.
Other than that, I don't know any.
Well, South Korea is fascinating. I mean, first of all, just the amount that it's grown in our lifetime, in our parents' lifetime, is amazing. Like back in the 1960s, I mean, we all know the Korean War, right? I mean, we probably don't know the in-depth history of Korean War, but, you know, the U.S. went and helped South Korea, right, against North Korea. And they, once the war was over, I mean, they basically had to start from scratch. And right now, they're just like, I mean, of course, every country has its own, you know, economic issues and whatnot. But
of course.
Just the sheer amount of growth that they've been able to generate since, you know, like our parents were born is just, it's a phenomenon that I don't think anyone has ever seen before. Mm. So, but that's not exactly the reason why. I just think that's a really fascinating part of South Korea.
Yeah. It to me, if just by hearing that, that would explain their like new futuristic type cities.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because
then they're like young.
Yeah, like you and I.
If you're rebuilding, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's, to me, I think that's a really huge competitive advantage, right? I mean, New York is New York,
right?
And San Francisco is kind of San Francisco. And they're not.
There's a lot of great history.
A lot of amazing history. Like John and I were obsessed when he lived in San Francisco about like walking the city and just like looking up in the buildings and seeing the history of San Francisco around us. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But when we went to Singapore, that was like our first exposure to like a futuristic city, right?
That was definitely the most futuristic city that I've ever experienced.
It was so efficient. I mean, from the train system to just
the designs of the structures.
Exactly. The designs of parks, like the design of Singapore was super intentional to, you know, ensure productivity and that it could grow and innovate. And it's very similar to South Korea.
Yeah.
But South Korea is bigger than Singapore, right? It's a lot easier to do it when you're smaller. I mean,
yeah, Singapore is like a city pretty much.
Yeah. South Korea is actually the size of Kentucky.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Like kind of like trying to figure out what the scale of South Korea is, right? I mean, whenever we're talking about like economy to economy, it's really difficult to make sure that you're comparing apples to apples. I mean, the United States is just a huge, huge, huge country. And to think about, you know, like comparing the U.S. to South Korea, well, South Korea is just like the size of Kentucky. But it's doing some amazing, really cool things. And the reason why I got into South Korea.
Why did you? I think I might know this.
I think you might know this, but it's because of K-pop.
K-pop.
I know it's just the weirdest way that I like learned about South Korea, but I'm super grateful that I did, because once K-pop kind of introduced me to South Korea, you know, obviously BTS is probably the most well-known. I love their song Dynamite.
Dynamite.
Dynamite. I started digging into, you know, like what is K-pop? What is this, you know, country that's producing like music that is really taking over the globe?
Yeah.
And the more I dug into it, the city of Seoul, South Korea, it's fascinating. I want to spend 1 month there with you. I think it would be really fun and interesting. And they really do want more, you know, foreigners to come in. And I mean, another really cool thing about South Korea is a lot of the people who are born there, they all leave and then they come back.
Okay. Right? That's kind of like Singapore, right?
Yeah, it is. It's a very internationally aware country. I mean, a lot of that comes from, I mean, for so many years, it was, you know, like basically importing culture, right? From the West and stuff like that.
Right.
And now it's creating its own amazing culture that's taking the world by storm. But it's not just, I mean, it's their culture that is so fascinating because it's uniquely theirs.
I understand that completely. Yeah, you know? Definitely. Yeah. The size of Kentucky has its own full on culture. Where like Singapore, that's a lot of mix and match.
Yeah,
other
exactly.
Other countries have that. But yeah, that's crazy to think about just their tiny little size.
It's fascinating to me. So I think, yeah, South Korea, for lots of different reasons, not just because I'm very curious about it. I just don't know. I'm just now being kind of exposed to South Korean culture, which is modern culture and its ancient culture are, you know, both equally fascinating to me at least. But not just that, but I think that there's a lot of potential going on over there that like in the future.
So BTS is, can I call it a boy band?
Yeah.
So it's a boy band that came out of Korea.
Yep.
And they are taking over music in a major way.
Amazing.
They're on the top charts globally. And yep. They're in the top charts in the United States, and that's how you kind of found them a bit, right?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of heard here and there, and like probably a lot of you, and definitely I know you and I both were like, "What is this K-pop shit?"
Yeah,
you
I'm
know,
not
like
the biggest fan, but
what
it's,
is this?
It's
this
very
is
catchy.
So weird. I mean, but the songs were catchy. That was the thing. It was like, okay, yeah, and the music videos were like visual art. You're just like totally immersed and fascinated by these kids who can, I mean, dance their ass off, basically. and they're singing in Korean for the most part. I mean, they're singing in a lot of different languages. They usually take some English words. They sing mostly in Korean, but then they'll have a few words in Chinese, Japanese, you know, Thai, English,
very globally focused.
Then. Yeah, they've all, and that's the key, is that they've always been very globally focused, kind of because they had to be, because they're so small, you know? It's not like, hey, I'm huge and I'm going to, like.
Yeah, if it was English, how many countries speak English?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly. So and they have their own language.
So how do they expose more of their intimate culture when they're in a country the size of Kentucky to the world, and
exactly
inserting a little bit of other languages into their songs.
Yeah, exactly. And part of what has allowed the connection of South Korea across what's allowed the connection of local South Koreans to be able to connect with the rest of the world has a lot to do with the government's investment of their infrastructure. I mean, you've got some of the best, fastest internet accessible to anyone in South Korea, which is super interesting. I mean, it's a lot of reporters have, you know, basically concluded that one of the reasons why South Koreans have so much influence on social media is because they have unlimited access to the internet.
And
they
have all over the country.
All over the country. So, you know, like, I mean, when we were living in Oklahoma, we knew some people who lived in really rural areas, graduated with like 30 different people from their high school, and they did not have access to internet. Like, that exists still in our own country, that rural areas don't have access to internet.
Yeah.
Of course, again, like, it's comparing apples to apples. Like, if we only had to focus on Kentucky, making sure that they had the fastest, most amazing, you know, internet of anyone, that would probably be a little bit easier than having to make sure that all 50 states were equipped.
Right, right. So all from BTS, you dove into learning more about Korea?
Yeah, I, like, That's awesome. I know, it's super random, but I was fascinated by it. And yeah, like, the whole industry of K-pop, it's not just K-pop. I mean, South Korea is blowing up with, like, beauty products, movies. You know, the Academy Award winning movie, Parasite?
Parasite, yeah.
Loved that movie.
It was very, very well put together. Artistic in every scene, makes you think. One of those movies you can watch multiple times, yeah, and you're finding little nuances throughout.
Totally.
It.
And it's not in English at all. Like,
oh,
you're,
that's right. Yeah, I forgot.
You're not even concerned. You're reading the subtitles just fine because you're fascinated and captivated by this story that is, I mean, it hits at the heart of a lot of what we're all going through, especially whenever there's economic wealth, there's usually some inequality that occurs, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So anyways, besides, I mean, that and technology, I mean, we all know Hyundai, we know Samsung, we know LG. I mean, they're just kind of, to me, it's almost like they were the underdogs. They were small and they were nimble and they learned from what a lot of other successful countries were doing. They took it, they made it their own, and they went into it.
It is crazy how much their media has kind of become a part of our world. I honestly forgot about Parasite, and it won Best Picture at the Academy Awards.
Yeah, it was the first foreign film to do so.
Foreign as in, like, full-on?
Full-on foreign. Like, well, like the, what was that Mexican movie?
The movie that was on Netflix.
Yes, I loved that movie so very much. I really did.
But that wasn't considered a foreign film?
It was considered a foreign film, but it lost.
Oh,
it lost to Green Book.
For some reason, I thought it won.
It won a lot of other things, but it was controversial that Green Book had won instead of
them. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, this guy who made Parasite emerged from a lot of things that happened in South Korea back when he was younger. Like, there was a lift on a ban of censorship, basically.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lift on a ban of being able to travel. And once there were a couple of different things that happened that allowed South Koreans to just kind of lean into themselves and get creative and go experience and see the world, which you and I both are very, very passionate about, making sure, you know, anyone and everyone goes and experiences new cultures in different countries because of what South Korea is doing. It allows you to see new opportunities and things and bring back things to your country or to your industry that you might not have understood otherwise that could actually turn into some sort of a competitive advantage, right?
Right.
So, like, if you're a filmmaker in South Korea, you know, a young filmmaker, and you want to go, you know, understand and study, you know, in the United States, you're going to get a very different perspective on how we see entertainment versus how you saw entertainment, right, in South Korea growing up. And then you go back to South Korea because South Korea is a great place to live. This is not like you're going back to an impoverished situation.
Yeah.
Right? And that's a really interesting thing.
That's a valid point. Yeah. Makes a big difference. Yeah. I just found the movie is Roma.
Oh, yes. Roma. Thank you.
Roma's good, but it didn't win. So this was the very first foreign film.
Foreign film to
Parasite.
Win the Academy Award.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So they're really emphasizing getting their entertainment out there for the world to enjoy. And I'm thinking that might have an influence on their economic growth.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. The interesting thing, too, is that the government actually has invested into a lot of these entertainment industries in South Korea. So they're, you know, whether it's like through tax breaks or directly investing into, I mean, they're one of the only countries that directly invest into entrepreneurs too. Like they'll actually,
Singapore does that for sure.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. There are a few, and we went to, remember when we went to India and we went and talked with,
one of the government officials.
Yeah. And she was amazing. She was a government official in Gujarat, which is where, President Modi originally was from, and kind of like
Ahmedabad.
Yeah, Ahmedabad was, that's where he got his start in politics. But anyways, she was telling us about their new initiatives of investing into entrepreneurs as well, but specifically into women entrepreneurs.
Right.
But, you know, South Korea has really been investing into that. I mean, there are some issues over there, just as there are anywhere else, you know, but I think what's interesting about even that Parasite movie is that it really tapped into something that is ubiquitous across cultures that we're all kind of experiencing to a certain extent.
I didn't think about that, but yeah, that,
yeah,
it translates loud and clear.
Yeah.
Even though it's fully in Korean,
it's something
translating
we feel.
A deeper message.
Yeah, exactly. It's something that we all feel and know is going on even in our own country.
Right.
And in our own little towns. Right. And it's, to me, that the art, the ability to be able to transcend a movie like that across the world, like, and even infiltrate the most difficult entertainment market of the U.S. I think that speaks a lot to how Korea has really just, I mean, this has been a long time coming, but has really tried to put itself on a stage by accepting other cultures into their life, like taking in other cultures around the world, and then kind of putting their own little twist on it and making it uniquely theirs, authentically South Korean, and then sharing that. Like, it's almost like they're sharing their perspective of the world through their culture and sharing that with others. And it connects. Like there are like Korean dramas. Korean dramas are supposedly like the first Korean entertainment export.
I'm already sensing that we're going to be watching a Korean drama sometime soon.
I'm sure we are. I mean, yeah, actually Hulu just made a deal to be like the sole company.
No pun intended on the sole.
Yeah. Oh yeah. The sole provider of Korean dramas for America, which is really interesting. But there were a couple of Korean dramas. There was one Korean drama, the first one that was exported to China, that Chinese, oh my God, they loved it. It was like in the 80s where they first released it in China. And this is where, you know, there's this word called Hallyu, which is translated into the Korean wave. This Korean drama was essentially the reason why Hallyu, the term, was established. It was established in China.
The Korean wave,
because this Korean drama took China by storm. Like, it, people just loved it. And it's a really interesting thing, because what it does for South Korea to change, like, how long, okay, so the Korean War, just look real quick background, it was like U.S., South Korea, China, and North Korea, right?
Yeah.
There were a lot of other players involved, but those were like the main big players. They were just basically trying to fight off communism, right?
Right.
So the fact that they went through war, the fact that, like, you know, China and South Korea did not have really great relations, but they were, you know, obviously, like, being okay, for the culture of China to accept and fully embrace and just fall in love with this Korean drama.
Right. And China's huge.
Yeah.
It's like the state of Kentucky led the whole United States times three.
Yeah, exactly. But for whatever reason, that drama from Korea was able to connect with people in China, right? Their culture in Korea.
And it was in Korean.
And then they translated it into Chinese, and that was like, it took off. And then there was another one a little bit later after China that was released in Japan. And Japan and South Korea had some serious beef, right? Mm-hmm. Even before China or anyone, the Japanese tried to colonize South Korea. So there was like some serious, serious tension between Japan and South Korea.
Yet the Japanese embraced the Korean.
Yeah, I think it was called Winter Sonata.
Okay.
And oh my gosh, people in Japan fell in love, women specifically.
Ah.
And like so much so that they fell in love with the Korean culture through this. which was really interesting because they were basically, so in Japan at the time, there was a lot, I mean, and still to this day, their culture is very much very traditional, very, you know, got to keep PC. You can only say certain things, right. You know?
Yeah. Very clean.
South cut. Korea kind of challenged that a little bit. And because.
But not too far.
But not too far. It wasn't like.
Out of their comfort.
Yeah. It was like just right. It was just the perfect amount of discord that made women in China feel like, wow, that makes me feel a little bit more liberated.
Women
right?
in China and Japan?
Sorry, yeah. Women in Japan with this Winter Sonata and okay. with China, but specifically with this Korean drama in Japan. It was really interesting. So like women just, they fully embraced it. They even gave like the characters of the drama like an honorable name. And I mean, people just loved it, just completely fell in love with it.
So this was the beginning of, what is it called, the Korean Wave?
Yeah, so this was in the 80s, like early or late 80s, early 90s, okay. kind of a deal,
and
right?
And now, would you say that, what is the word called?
Hallyu.
Hallyu, would you say it's now, the wave is coming on in?
Over here, yeah, for sure. But just to kind of touch on like the significance of those two dramas, one to China and one to Japan, that they fell in love with South Korea. Those dramas did more for the international relations for South Korea with those two countries than any other like political or economic agreements ever did. Like
whoa.
People in government were constantly trying to basically try to figure out how do we make our relations with these people, these countries that we really didn't get along with for so long. How do we make our relationship better? We have no idea. They're not taking us seriously. They don't respect us, blah, 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 blah. These dramas, for whatever reason, connected with the culture and the people, the citizens of those countries, fell in love with South Korea so much that it actually made the relationship between the countries improve still to this day. Like, they're friends now. Like, Japan did some really fucked up shit in South Korea. I mean, as yeah. all, like, countries who try to colonize another country, like, go and invade. And to this day, it's still understood that that was a really bad thing. But Japan doesn't hate South Korea and South Korea doesn't hate Japan. Like, that's a history that they don't want to go back to. And that was part of, what's interesting is that was part of the whole plan with her South Korea the whole time. Like, when they were starting from scratch, they said, we really need to focus on how do we improve our image, not just economically with power, not just with military power, not just with all of that stuff, because obviously that stuff hasn't worked in the earlier part of the century, right?
Yeah.
How do we make people love us? Like, how do we make people fall in love with us like we did the Western world when the Americans were here, right? Or like
break
when,
down those walls.
Yeah, how do we break down those walls? How do we make our culture seem really appealing to people? Yeah.
And it's that, like the culture was the middleman.
Yeah.
The connector.
They invested heavily into that. So in addition to investing into businesses like Hyundai and LG and stuff like that, they really, and their own military power and stuff like that, they really leaned into what's called soft power. Hmm. And that's really, you know, it has a lot to do with culture, essentially.
I have to say, I'm like really surprised and really impressed as to how far deep you dug into this.
I know. Well, I wanted to know why, because, I mean, what's so interesting to me is like, okay, think about what other examples that you could, like, some of the examples of soft power that I can think of just right off the top of my head have influenced the way that I viewed countries, right? Hmm. So like, for example, when I was growing up, and even when I was a teenager and in college, I was like, France is the shit. Like Paris is where I want to go because yeah. it's artistic. That's where like all these artists and poets and like writers all came
deep
out
history
of. Yeah, it was about their culture. Food. Exactly. It was their culture. Hmm. And that was exported to me by France, right? Which is really interesting.
Yeah, I recall very clearly how much you loved it and how badly you wanted to go when we
like,
first started dating.
Midnight in Paris is like one of my all-time favorite movies
still
forever.
Is, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I know.
And so, and I think about also like what how we've exported our own culture and how much that's influenced people around the world.
Definitely.
I mean, your dad came here from England. Your uncle came here from France. Like, why did they come here? There were certain things that they wanted to be a part of in the U.S. that was a export from us to them in their respective cultures.
Yeah, I'm seeing that a lot with
countries.
The hip-hop music in the United
oh, yeah.
States going to like China. We saw it when we were in Thailand. And
oh, for sure. Well, I mean, that's one of the things that K-pop takes a lot of inspiration from is hip-hop from the United States.
Huh, interesting.
And EDM from the from Europe, right? I mean, right. There's the thing is we're all, like, the greatest part about the time we're living in right now, I mm-hmm. think, is Tell that me. We get to...
I need some great parts of time we're living in right now.
I know, me too. I think the greatest part of the time that we're living in right now is the fact that we have access to cultures that we know nothing about right now, like that we can't physically go to, but I can actually get into K-pop if I really, really wanted to and dive into that culture, because there's a culture online that is super live and well. Like, I know it's virtual. It's not the same as being in person, but yeah. You know, like,
obviously you want to go there and feel it and yeah, experience it.
I do. It makes me want to go there, and it does make me seek South Korea in a totally different way. I mean, before I did this deep dive, I was like, South Korea, who cares? Like mm-hmm. that, I mean, are they going to get attacked by North Korea soon? That seems like a kind of scary place to go, you know?
Yeah.
Tension seems still very high because it's always in our news about North Korea, right?
That's a typical thought for sure.
Yeah, but I think, one of the best times that we're living in right now is, like, if you are feeling, like, alone, you're feeling like you're not, like, connecting with anything around you or anyone around you, like, there are...
Or you used to travel and you miss it.
Yeah, or you miss... Yeah, exactly. That's part of your, like, who you are and, like, what you love to do with your life. You can still do that to an extent. You know, you can feel at least connected and part of a community. And that's one thing that is, to me, the most interesting about K-pop. And, like, let me just kind of bring it full circle with the people in South Korea who have access to to social media and the internet, right? Mm-hmm. And K-pop, who is kind of doing, like, the same, you know, recruit, bring them into the record label, let's, like, train them. It's a really fascinating process, but they're basically replicating what Motown did back in the day, where they would, like, find talent, they would bring them in, and then they would train them. And then when they thought that they were ready, they would then put them out to the world. But it was basically like the record really guided the artist, right? Mm-hmm, where the artist, like now in the United States, we're really used to like artists just coming out at SoundCloud. Yeah,
and then they separate typically like NSYNC, and then here comes Justin Timberlake.
But right, exactly.
This one's very calculated.
Oriented. It's very calculated. Like, down to a T. But what's really fascinating is not just that, is that this K-pop movement, especially with BTS, what's going on right now, is that the fans are just as a part of their success as BTS's success. Like, BTS would not be as successful globally without their fan base online.
Let me just get this straight. You're saying their fans are extremely involved in helping them grow?
Yeah, like so
more so than like, what is it, the Beehive from Beyonce?
Well definitely the Beehive is part of Beyonce. Like, that's kind of like, so I love Beyonce. She's like my absolute favorite. I'm obsessed with her for sure. BTS, they also, I mean, they have
the BTS army.
They're called the BTS army, exactly. And so if you're a fan, you're part of the army, right? And so what happens is online, whenever BTS comes out with something, I mean, BTS has like some of the top most viewed music videos on YouTube right now.
So the fans are more interactive online and share their content or like participate more in their growth?
Yeah, that basically they feel a sense of obligation to share BTS with the world, and they
obligation.
Do so. Yeah, they feel like they can't get to the level that they want, that they they can't reach the potential without them. And it's very, actually very true. And they guide a lot of things. Like, one of the things that BTS, one of the differentiating factors of BTS versus other K-pop bands that have come through around the world is that they're actually, their record label has allowed them to write a little bit of their lyrics, right?
Okay, so there's a little bit of artistic freedom.
A little bit. But that so little, I know, but that little bit means a lot, because they're singing about mental health issues, they're singing about loneliness, they're singing about things that like young people really truly feel. Like a certain generation, a young generation who has lived online since they were probably given an iPad or an iPhone when they were little, right?
Right.
Like, they feel a certain type of way, and BTS is hitting on that. And so when the connection is made between the army and BTS, and they're both symbiotically like helping each other grow, right?
And it's demonstrating the authenticity of the individual.
Exactly. Like, they actually guided BTS to go and speak at the UN.
Whoa.
That they were the first K-pop band, like boy band, to really speak in front of the United Nations. And they basically came up with this campaign where it's like they love, it's called Love Myself.
So as you were bringing it full circle, this is based on everyone, like their main fans, I'm assuming, are in Korea. Is that, would you say that?
Yeah. After? It's like a whole nother level.
And they all have high speed internet.
Yep.
And they all actively participate more so than any other artist. This is your opinion, I guess.
This is my opinion.
More so than any other artist has a fan base that's that involved.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
I think that, yeah, they feel like they are a part of BTS. Like our they army, actually feel.
BTS, the just the term army is, I know. Is quite like, we're in it together. We're fighting for some mission.
Yeah.
And their mission is to, is it positive change
It is positive change. It's like what their message is, what they're singing, and not only the words that they're singing, because I don't understand Korean. Not only the words that
they're not yet.
Not yet.
Seems like you might say.
I added on my Duolingo. But the lyrics that they're singing and the fact that they're really engaging with an international audience, like Justin Bieber and like Drake have just now, I mean, they're Canadians. They just now are starting to get into, or it probably in the last 5 years, started to get into like the Latino world, right? Where they're okay. like singing and reggaeton. And I love the fact that reggaeton is going mainstream in the United States. Like it makes me so happy. Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're like, that's recent. BTS started, I mean, and all K-pop bands start by targeting the globe. Like they go, they speak Chinese, they speak Japanese, they speak.
So their initial goal was not just to
keep it in South Korea.
Yeah, it was globally focused.
The goal is to share their culture.
It took a long time to get to where they're at now.
Sure. But it has to do with social media. I mean, the first one was Psy with Gangnam Style, right?
Oh yeah, Welcome Gangnam Style.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone knows that song.
It was like a billion viewed music video.
And the fact that that like caught everyone's attention, that went viral all around the world, had a lot to do with people in South Korea. And they figured it out. It was like the light turned on. They were like, wow, we can actually really influence what Americans and the Brits and people in Europe and everywhere else around the world are actually listening to by viewing, sharing, and constantly. And like they understood social media at the level of like PhD. They just like, I mean, for whatever reason, it's the sheer quantity, and it's like they all are completely focused on one thing, and it's basically getting BTS to becoming the most recognizable band in the world.
Interesting. So here, I want to bring it back to the original question.
Yeah.
This is, I knew you enjoyed BTS. I knew you kind of dug into a little bit of Korea. I thought you might say that this would be the place you want to go to just based on how much you have been enjoying BTS, but
yeah.
I didn't think that you dove this deep into it. It's actually really impressive. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. I know I did. I dove really into it. I mean, I watched a lot of documentaries. I read academic articles. Like I listen seriously. Like one of my favorites was done by the BBC, where a BBC radio host played one of BTS's songs. Like
this is a documentary or?
Yeah, it was like a short documentary by BBC Radio.
YouTube?
Yeah, on YouTube.
Awesome.
Yeah, and we'll link it in the description or whatever. And she played this and she was like, she's like, I didn't even know what it really was. I just played it because I just saw it on a chart. And I was like, yeah, well, let's see what this sounds like. And she's like, yeah, this is kind of cool. What is this? And when she played it on BBC, the amount of response and feedback that she got was so overwhelming. She has never, ever experienced it before. I mean,
like positive feedback,
super positive, like so happy. And like, just like, yay, BBC, thanks so much for playing it. Like that's the cool thing about BTS Army is like, they're not attacking. It's very positive. That's, I think, one thing that might be different between them and the Beehive.
Yeah. Or other like fans.
Others where they're just like, they go and attack people. Like BTS is very much about positivity and trying to just like, just spread their own culture and the words that.
So it's actually not like an army. It's an army.
It's a nice army. Yeah,
it's a
nice army. But in a weird way, BTS becomes like their representative their representation to the world of like what, how they want the world to not only see South Korea, but to actually like the issues that they want addressed.
Nice. I get that.
Right. That's like where the whole UN comes in, right? The whole UN speech comes in. It was just really good, by the way.
I love your passion with this. So I want to ask you, like, besides the fact that you want to actually understand this culture, like by going into, I'm assuming you'd want to go to Seoul first.
Yeah. I like to see it all, but yeah, Seoul would be the first.
But is there anything in particular about Seoul or Korea that like just sounds like fun, like,
yeah,
like,
you
know,
oh,
like
yeah,
when you're traveling, you know, I love, well, you know me, I probably talk about it way too much on this podcast, but I'm all about the food. But like, oh, what is it that got you excited about like, if I could go on the ground, I'd want to go and, you know, go to a mall, or I don't know what you'd want to do. Tell me.
Yeah, no, that's a really good question, because I mean, obviously, I did do a deep dive to try to like, as much as I could, understand South Korea and its influence now, and like why I am interested in it right now. But when I did that, I did start, I mean, okay, the city of Seoul is so cool, and they're really trying to design it to be really like as beautiful and easy to walk through and everything.
I'm thinking it's a big city, right?
It's huge.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the biggest city in the country for sure.
Yeah.
It's the capital city. And
yeah.
But I think, well, what's great is that it is a very futuristic city, but it still has that kind of like that grit of like markets that you can walk through still. Like there's a whole area where you're just like going, and there's street food, you know, it's like the things that you and I love, like when we're going to Thailand or going through Bangkok, like there are so many different markets. Like they let the culture still be what it is. Like they've leaned into their culture so far, like far in, that it's like, I just love the authenticity of their culture, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. It's a relatively new culture, but it's a combination of their old culture and definitely a part of like the globalization aspect of, you know, the economy. Like they've taken in a lot of, they've imported a lot of stuff, but now they've created their own unique culture there. And what's really interesting is there's a lot of potential for entrepreneurship there. Like that.
So that's an appealing aspect of why you'd want to go there.
It's really appealing. Not only does the city look awesome, like super fun to live in, and like, I mean, the nightlife is awesome, supposedly. Right. Like not like you and I, you know, we have fun at night, and like, but we go to bed early, but like this, everyone goes out. Like everyone goes out. They don't, like you're sitting, you could sit at a fancy restaurant, you could sit outside on a plastic bench, which, or a plastic stool, which is like our favorite. Usually if like you find a street food place with a plastic stool that you sit on, like sit on it, because it's going to be really awesome, right? Mm. They've got that whole culture there with that.
Okay.
And people like to drink a lot over there too. It's fun. It's just one of those things where, but it's really clean and it's really safe. It's just, it's an anomaly to me. Like, yeah. I don't understand how it's so safe. It's got it's really, really clean. It's really safe. Obviously like guns and stuff like that have a lot to, you know, not, they don't allow guns into their country or anything like that. But
so what do they do? They just go to the bars?
Yeah. They've got a ton of bars, like a ton. And everyone drinks. There's a certain type of alcohol that they drink. I'll look it up. But then they have, it's beer.
Like Sojin or something like
that.
Yeah,
let me look it up. Hold on.
But anyways, what do they do anything super different than what other countries in Asia do? Besides like, you know, just going out to the bars. I mean, Bangkok does that too.
Yeah, I think what's interesting is that they have a, like, it's part of the professional culture.
Uh-huh, very cool. Do they do anything like karaoke or?
Oh, yeah.
I know Japan does that.
Yeah. Karaoke's huge in South Korea.
Yeah.
Like huge. Obviously, like K-pop is huge. It's like everything there, right? So like you're usually, you know, singing to your favorite K-pop song. Mm-hmm. But you could sing to anything. I mean, I've watched videos of people like singing Whitney Houston and stuff, and I love it. You know, like like I said, like it's part of the professional culture. Like
so it's fun. It's safe. It doesn't sound too overcrowded from what you're kind of describing.
No, I think it's I mean, I don't know. I haven't been there.
Yeah, you want to check it out.
I really want to check it out, but
yeah, the main food I know is like Korean barbecue, and it's a very social.
Kimchi. Oh, yeah, too.
Kimchi. But like the Korean barbecue, going out for it is a very social event.
Yeah.
More so than like, because aren't you cooking at your own table?
Yeah, you are. It looks, honestly, the food, you're going to, if I show you a couple videos, you're just going to fall in love with the food,
don't
honestly.
Do it right now.
But the Korean alcoholic drink that I was referring to is called soju.
Soju.
Yeah, soju.
I was close, I think.
You were really close, actually.
Yeah. And so they drink, is it, what is it, a liquor or is it a?
Yeah, it's a Korean, it's.
Wine?
It says here on Wikipedia. Soju is a clear, slightly sweet distilled spirit. It's the most popular Korean liquor. It's known as, quote, a friend of life and, quote, the common people's drink.
Everyone could use a friend in life.
Mm-hmm. I would say so. And then it says it's made from grains or starches like potatoes.
Nice.
And rice.
That's
yeah.
very cool.
So it's, yeah. So
you want to experience the nightlife.
I want to experience the nightlife. I want to experience the food scene. I want to
entrepreneurship. You want to go?
There's an emerging.
Have a lot of incubators or something.
Yeah, it's emerging. I mean, what's interesting too is the professional culture in South Korea has always been about. I mean, there's been very few jobs because the pinnacle of a job that you could get is in one of the big companies like Hyundai, LG, and Samsung.
Mm-hmm.
They're called chaebols. In South Korea, like whenever you look at this, look them up, you're going to see this weird word called chaebols. And that's basically they're kind of monopolies, like they're big, big, big companies, right? That really mm-hmm. create and help stimulate a lot of economic power around the world for them. I think we have an LG product in here somewhere, right? Or Samsung.
LG's been big. Samsung for sure. We have a lot of those.
Yeah. So I think, there's a lot of
So
with only a few jobs, I mean, I don't know. I've also read some articles about how stressful the culture there was, you know, for kids, because basically there's this, not only is the education, also the education. Okay.
Like
these kids work so
educated.
Hard. Yeah. Like that's part of one of the like things that K-pop bands are starting to like kind of talk about a little bit more is like the younger generation's like anxiety in school because the expectation for them to perform is so strict. Like it's the bar is set so high, right? But I mean, a lot of South Koreans study abroad and then they come back and they have all this really amazing experience, but there are very few jobs for them to come back to because these companies, you know, can only have so many job positions.
So that naturally encourages entrepreneurship.
So what's interesting that's happening is like a lot of the South Korean students who are very qualified to come and study here in the United States because they are very, very smart and they've worked very hard mm-hmm. all their young adult life. They come here and they see America is... We have this really amazing culture of like, yeah, like I can do anything. The American dream, like I could start from scratch. I could do something. I could build it, whatever, right? That's like the American dream that they come here, they learn, they kind of process it and they go back to South Korea and they're like, well, I don't really need that job. Like if I can't get that job, why don't I just create something? And so that's relatively recent. Like I would say probably in the last 10 to 20 years where, like I said, government is starting to invest into entrepreneurs. They are starting to do incubators. They're embracing it a little bit more. I mean, they have been criticized. Their education has been criticized as being too rote, like really old school.
By the book. Yeah,
by
yeah.
the book. Got to memorize it and stuff like that, where they're kind of more embracing now like an education.
The creative, the
yeah,
edgy,
exactly.
Pursue your passions.
They're clearly very talented at it. Like the combination of the hard work ethic, just working your butt off because that's the expectation of the culture.
Yeah.
And then combining that with like a new acceptance of just be creative, like go for it. Like I really think that
I mean that's our mentality, right?
It's
not just United States, you and I.
Yeah, 100% you and right. me. But so, like I think that it lends itself to having a really interesting future, I think, in the next, in our lifetime at least. If the focus has mostly been on big companies in South Korea, right? Mm-hmm. The big three chaebols, LG, Samsung, and Hyundai, like Sunday. And then and then you also have, you know, government really trying to invest into this entertainment industry, which is, again,
that's another
institution,
industry, right?
Like yeah. kind of thing. Now they're seeing, okay, well, obviously there's not enough jobs for everyone. Like, yeah, you're smart enough. You already have the experience. You see it. You want it. Let's do it, you know?
Right.
So that's relatively recent. And that's something that you and I connect with mm-hmm. very much. Like when we went to India and she was telling us you know, the government official was telling us about their investment into female startups, and then we went to actually go tour a couple of different universities, you saw the direct impact. Like, it was almost like...
Yeah, it was beautiful.
It was... I mean, they were so excited to like, talk with us because we are... You know, obviously we're from America, but we're also very excited about new startups around the world. Yeah,
learning about their culture, their life, and what they're doing.
Yeah, and wanting to help them. How
impactful it is.
Yeah. And I mean, it was really beautiful to see. And so I just am really, I guess I'm excited to go see what it's all about when we can.
You're probably at the point where you've done so much research. The next thing that you could do to further embrace and understand their culture is just being a part of it, letting the culture change you.
Yeah,
through
100%.
It being around you.
100%. Yeah, I just
patience,
say,
my love, patience.
I just mad respect for South Korea is what I'm mm-hmm. gonna say. Like, I really, really respect the people there. I think that they've gone through a lot. Their history is full of like turmoil and war, and like they're coming out in this new modern world as like a really great positive force for good, I think. And
that's beautiful.
I really think, I just can't wait to just go and experience it, you know? I mean, I don't know, maybe my expectations are too high, but I think I've done a lot of research on this. And of course, research can only get you so far. You have to actually experience it yourself. That's a philosophy you and I definitely hold.
Absolutely, yeah, you gotta get out there and do it. And who knows, you might be part of it at some point, you know.
Yeah.
If you do love it as much as you're all of our listeners, I'm sure, can feel your passion as you're talking about it.
Yeah.
Because it is I think especially right now in the world, there's so much rough stuff going on, but there's a lot of beauty still, and that culture is something that you want to be a part of because it's got a lot of things going on. Very progressive,
yeah.
Impactful in a positive way.
Yep.
And that's cool.
Impactful, innovative, and just so much potential. And you know,
it's just beginning to bloom.
It's the Korean wave. I'm just saying, like, seriously, it's here.
What's it called again? Hallyu.
Hallyu. We might even be saying that wrong, but you know, honestly, I think we cheer for the underdog. They have been the underdog, and they're fucking killing it now. And I'm really excited to see what they do next.
Awesome. Well, wow. I'm ready to go get my bags.
Yeah,
packed,
we're going to go grab our passport.
Yeah, I wish. Well, I love you, honey. That was really awesome.
I love you
too. I'm very grateful that you were able to share that passion with me and anyone who listened. It's very fascinating. There's a lot. You really went into it. I'm impressed, honey.
I know. It was a very interesting story. So I'm grateful that I get to share it with you and the audience. And who knows, maybe I'll do some blogs. I'll write a couple of things about it if people want to go more in depth into it and find out the resources that I use. So.
Well, that was fun. Thanks for taking me away for a second.
I
enjoyed
you.
It.
Let's go listen to Dynamite.
I love you.
Bye. I love you.
Enjoy this journey through sound.